The Fantasy Edge with Richard Seville and Dennis Sosik.
Hello and welcome to The Fantasy Edge. I am Richard Seville of FantasySixPack.net, and joining me shortly will be Davis Peng, who is filling in for Dennis this week, and we kind of have a little bit of a Christmassy kind of show today for you. We aren't doing waivers like we did last week. We did sort of an awards show last week. This is just following the two games, the Raiders and Browns and the Vikings and Bears. Just the Vikings and Bears just completed, and actually the Vikings and Bears was a pretty good game. And if you like Rock 'em, Sock 'em, like, I mean, it was just like there was an atmosphere in that game, and I think that's kind of what wasn't a well, it wasn't a great football game, but the atmosphere of it was interesting. But anyway, Davis, glad to have you filling in once again. You're always it's always interesting to hear your views on stuff.
They sent me back, man, and I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. I come off as a contrarian, apparently, a very bad one.
That's a good thing. No, it's a good thing.
I'm still riding my victory lap on Russell Gage after we talked about it last time when I was on the show. I was like, Russell Gage, baby, here he comes.
And you were absolutely right, and Gage tore it up, and, you know, I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson, you relied on him all. I mean, it happened to a lot of people. We were talking about this before the podcast. It just seems like they say start your studs, but the studs were duds. Most of the studs, like, I would say almost all the studs, the majority of studs were duds. I mean, okay.
Oh, you're telling me I just got beat because I had Hunter Renfrow and didn't start Parker in a matchup. No, and at the end of the day, some of it is matchup based, but some of the studs, yeah, they usually do well, right? Like Devontae Adams did pretty well. That's where the list. Justin Jefferson did okay today. Travis Kelce, you know, 36 points this week, I mean, or 40 points, depending what kind of format you're in. So it wasn't a total dud. I mean, Jonathan Taylor too, so on and so forth.
No, I have to say that Mark Andrews carried me.
God, he did the best imitation of Travis Kelce this week. Thank God, he might have just saved people's seasons by himself, or costed people their seasons too.
Oh, he's awesome. He's Kelce-esque. He's one of the guys. He's one of the big three.
I mean, obviously, a lot of the tight ends stood up. I mean, like, stepped up this week, right? You're talking Kelce, you're talking Kittle that still did okay. I mean, he had three solid, consistent weeks. You got Mark Andrews, Hunter Henry came in out of the blue and put up 20 plus.
Yes, that's true.
It's a good week to have a solid tight end this week of all weeks.
Yeah. Well, if you had a top tight end, they were the ones that helped you this week, but you couldn't rely on your inner stars. You know, you mentioned, I don't know if you mentioned Najee Harris, but I think you mentioned him before the podcast.
Yeah, Najee. He kind of screwed me this week.
But then, we had like Fournette and Godwin, Evans.
If you had Fournette, you're probably riding happy in a PPR league. He had what, 10 catches or something, or 9 catches, some ridiculous amount of free points.
Yeah.
Seven receptions. It's not the end of the world for you.
Yeah, but you might lose them for the semis. So.
Yeah, well, that's fantasy football. Just pivot. Rojo might be on the waiver still. Yeah. Devin Singletary did well for me this week. I actually had to start him in a league, and I unironically had to start him, and it worked out. So your season's never over until it's actually over.
Mm. That actually is part of the news today, is the Buccaneers downfield. Chris Godwin is out with an ACL. It's out for the season. You will not have Godwin out. For what a little small sample size, I like Ty Johnson.
He's been solid this season when he got the chance to share Michael Carter. I want to say he had, what, 3 or 4, like, respectable weeks this season?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and for backup running backs, respectable can vary. But in half PPR, he had, what, week 5, 7, 8, and 9, where they're both above 10 points.
Uh-huh.
I mean, one of them came on a touchdown, but, you know, he catches receptions. He gets dink and dunks. He runs for 30, 40 yards or 20 yards. It kind of works out. It's not amazing, but it could be worse. He could be with Matt Breida. You know what I mean?
Just taking a look at the top 10 finishers. I better switch to half PPR here. Tyler Huntley. What do you make of this guy?
Who?
Tyler Huntley.
Oh, Tyler Huntley, man. I'm kind of hoping Lamar Jackson just sits out the rest of the season. I think, are they officially out of the playoffs yet? I think they're close to or are.
I think they're still alive. Yeah, they're still alive. Yeah, they are. I can tell you exactly where they are. I never have the right stuff up when I need it. There it is. They are 8-6, and they are just outside the 7. They're one game behind.
It didn't help that the Browns took another win. So I think they're going to put Lamar back in, but I kind of hope they don't, because Huntley is their new Tyrod Taylor. They have the ability to trade away a guy just like Tyrod Taylor was originally a Raven to a QB needy team that might bite on him because he's having some solid games. You know, he's Matt Castle right now. He's Tyrod Taylor. He's someone that might have value for the Ravens, and he need to call the season over. They already have enough injuries. What are they going to do when they get to the playoffs? They're the most injury ridden team next to the Titans.
True.
To start Tyler Huntley and get your money and try to get people to up bet you next season. If Ryan Fitzpatrick could have gotten a job this year, I think Huntley has a chance next year.
Yeah, it definitely did wonders for his resume.
Tyler Huntley's only 23.
Yeah.
So people keep thinking he's like this long-term veteran. He's only 23 years old. He has value right now.
Yep. Another guess who made the top 10 this week? And is Jared Goff, QB7.
I'm not sure if you remember one of my posts I made a while back on Twitter, and even I actually made it on our Fantasy Six Pack articles about taking Jared Goff your final pick of every fantasy draft, because there is a chance he does well, right? There's a chance he could have done well, right? Obviously, hindsight right now, he didn't do amazing by any means, but he had some serviceable weeks. And to top it off, you knew he was going to have a job because they didn't draft him. You know, they didn't draft a Davis Mills. They didn't draft a Kellen Mond. They didn't draft whoever the hell the Bucks took. I forgot his name, but they didn't draft anybody. You know, there's no Drew Lock behind him. So you knew he was playing 16 games. Well, 17 games this year, short of an injury.
Yeah.
And at your final pick of best ball, round 18, yeah, sign me up for some Jared Goff. And he really paid off this week. Hmm. Really paid off.
This game that just finished, Justin Fields actually made the top 10 as well. He was number 9 with 16 points. Yes, he did.
Oh, because yes, he just did. Threw a touchdown
just ahead. Yeah, he threw a touchdown at the end. It got called for him, but he had a lot of rushing yards this game.
And to be fair, he also could have had 1 to 2 more touchdowns if Jimmy Graham wasn't terrible, if Darnell Mooney was a little bit taller on his left foot. He really could have. I don't think he played a bad game. I have not been the best Justin Fields guy towards midseason. I was a little excited for him coming in after his preseason amazingness, but he really didn't look that bad this game. He really knew how to move himself out of the pocket. And you're talking about one touchdown. That was all he got, and he still was relevant. Man, imagine if he got 2 or 3, which is very possible to at least get that second one or that third one even. So I'm excited, and I'm happy for him to have a top 10 week this week, or a top 12 week.
Can you guess who was the top RB? Who was the RB1 this week for fantasy?
Is it
Don't get, just guess. Just guess.
Jonathan
Don't
Taylor.
No, it was Duke Johnson.
That was my second guess because I'm a Dolphins fan, and I know he had a pretty good week, but I didn't think it was that good. Oh, yeah, 2 touchdowns, right?
He's just ahead of Taylor. Taylor came in second. All the rest of them.
Fun fact about Duke Johnson right now. In underdog best ball tournaments, only 8 teams drafted Duke Johnson. And then 4 of them are in the playoffs, and all 4 of them progressed into the next round of best ball. Something ridiculous like that. Like a very small handful of people drafted him. Some of them made it, and now because of Duke Johnson's performance, plus other things, but let's chalk up to this amazing performance. They're going to progress to the semifinals.
Mm.
All of them. Everyone that had them.
Yeah. Most of them are usual suspects, and that made the top 10. Donta Foreman made number 9. You had Devin Singletary made number 6 in the RBs.
I can't believe that.
Yeah. And Jeff Wilson, he was filling in for
Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah, Elijah Mitchell. And so he got RB3. The WRs, Tyreek came in the top. And Brandon Cooks. I like Brandon Cooks. He's good. He's the best Houston guy you can get. I mean, he's been pretty solid all year, generally. I mean, he has ups and downs, but you're going
to
get
everybody does, right? Yeah. Everybody, this is, you know, fantasy's kind of gone this weird route where you have to have a guy that's producing every week. And this, in real
in realness, for anyone that's been playing fantasy for more than, you know, the last 5 years or 3 years, that's not the case. You're going to have down weeks. And this week is a reminder of that.
Yeah.
You're going to, even your studiest guy, and I would consider Brandon Cooks a stud at wide receiver too. They're just going to have up and down weeks. It happens, and that's normal. I mean, Tyreek Hill, I mean, Devonta Adams, I mean, short of Adams, Keenan Allen, and like one other receiver, like that's not the norm. You're not supposed to have guys that give you 15 a week,
no.
Even in people.
And no, it's solid enough production, and he's definitely he's right in there.
He's such a value.
Yep. And this guy that I made a joke of a little bit, like, you know, Gabriel Davis was WR3, but Davis is actually a good football wide receiver. He's a good player. I mean, I changed my mind about him. I think he rivals Stephon Diggs, you know. He might even be better, dare I say.
I don't know if he's better than Diggs, but he definitely has that level of, kind of reminds me of Darnell Mooney, who we just watched today, right? Like, you see something special in this.
Yeah.
You know, it's different, the kind of special those players are, but you see something. You see them being relevant, right? He could be the Emmanuel Sanders to Antonio Brown, or the Emmanuel Sanders to Demaryius Thomas. Like, that would be great. And you see it when you watch Gabriel Davis, Darnell Mooney. Like, you can see these amazing number twos existing in the league.
Yeah.
And yeah, I drafted so much Gabriel Davis coming into the season. And I mean, he costed me nothing in best ball. And I felt like an idiot for a while. But, you know, week 13, week 14, week 15, he's been kind of having that relevance. 4 touchdowns in 3 games?
My, yeah.
Gross. He's a streaky guy. He's
He is streaky, and that's makes him hard to start, you know, like, you know.
He's such a good flex player. He's a guy that's Tim and Dawson Knox, right? You start them and just go, you know, what if?
Well, like Van Jefferson, right? Like a Van Jefferson sort of guy.
Exactly. Just like Van Jefferson, who has been amazing too. But yeah, I drafted 30% of my best ball teams with Gabriel Davis. I was really into him, and it didn't pay out for the first, you know, 8 weeks of the season or 7 weeks of the season. But since week 8 to now, he's had fantasy relevancy.
Yeah.
And it's been weird. It's been really weird.
Number 4,
I'm
Christian.
Glad you brought him up. He's actually one of my guys that I really enjoyed this season. I'm hoping he continues to get better.
Yeah, I made a joke the last time you were on here about, like, you know, reading long articles about guys like Gabriel. Maybe I should read these long articles about the guy, and maybe I might learn something. But anyways,
I did reading on it. But I took from him was when I watched his final few games last season and him playing in the postseason against the Colts. Like, he had moments where you could, like, he's getting open.
He's
raw. He's not finite at all, but, you know, it's a really big what if. Mm. He could also do nothing either, which kind of sucks.
And your man Gage was number 6. Number 5, Amon St. Brown. Amon Ra St. Brown. You know, did you know? You probably do know.
I wrote a song about him on Ra, actually, jokingly.
Equanimeous St. Brown's brother.
What? I did not know that.
Yeah, Amon Ra and Equanimeous are brothers.
That's hilarious. I who their parents know how to name people, that's for sure. Name them to be famous. That's
I don't know. I mean, who would name their kid Amon Ra? I mean, but then again, who would name their kid Chester?
Also, got a good point too. I actually would name my kid Amon over Chester. Chester does not seem like it gets anywhere.
It's kind of like, what is this? The 19th century? just to round out the top 10, you had Debo Samuel and Keenan Allen at number 10.
Love him.
I missed out Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who did pretty good for the pack.
You know, he's someone that, like, I don't like as a football player overall. He's someone that you think should be drafted every year and should be held on. Just like we're talking about Gabriel Davis, we're talking about these streaky guys. That's MVS right now. I mean, depending if Aaron Rodgers is on the team next year. But if Aaron Rodgers is, MVS gets, he's Breshad Perryman, you know? He's just one of those guys that he's one and done. He, you know, 3 catches, 75 yards on a touchdown.
Yeah, it was his day. I mean, but next week it could be Lazard's day.
I don't know. If you look at MVS's stats throughout the year, they're like, you can tell that they're there.
Well,
like,
I guess I can get those up, yeah.
Yeah, like, he has a chance to be that guy whenever, like, it's Aaron Rodgers. Like, you look at his targets. It's 10, 9, 5, and 7. And only targets he gets are usually deep shot.
Yeah.
Although, week one, 8 targets. Week two, week three, week four targets. I mean, they're not great, but 13 points, 20 points, 18. That's MVS. He's just a deep ball guy, and you just crappier than Van Jefferson, but high, just as high upside. Mm-hmm.
Well, in the last game, when the Packers played Baltimore, Rodgers targeted Lazard twice in the end zone. He couldn't haul them in. Well, they weren't very catchable, but he was targeting Lazard there.
Would you rather have MVS or Mecole Hardman?
Oh, MV. Well,
what I'm saying? Like, for a guy that gets drafted kind of for some reason every year, Mecole Hardman or any of the Patrick Mahomes receivers that aren't Tyreek Hill, I would rather have MVS.
Yeah, I probably would rather have MVS.
Robbie Anderson or MVS.
The thing about, I mean, we can talk about where the offense of the Chiefs is going these days. I'm not sure about that. I mean, Kelsey's monster game was kind of out of the blue in comparison to what he's been doing really lately. I think Mark Andrews has been a lot more consistent than Kelsey really, but they both had monster games this week. So, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, if I was Mark Andrews is someone I'm probably going to draft next year. I'm probably going to write off Kelsey next season will be the last time I kind of draft him, but he's going to go in the first and second rounds again. I'd rather have Mark Andrews at round 4 or 3. He's younger. Yeah. He has a more prominent role. He's actually a better talent than his competition. Mm. I mean, we could argue that Travis Kelsey's more talented than
I don't know about that. I think Kittle's. Oh, no, I mean, no one catches a football like Kittle does. Not.
I mean, the competition on his team. Mark Andrews is a better talent than his teammates, his competition.
He's definitely
better than Rashad Bateman and Marquise Brown.
Yeah, and Sammy Watkins there. I think Sammy Watkins and Bateman are kind of like, and you got to add in Duvernay as well there. I think those guys are sort of, those guys are kind of in a nebula of their own, you know? So, whereas it really is just, for now it's Devonta Freeman.
And that's why I would probably be more interested in taking Andrews next season at a better price than taking, Travis Kelce at round 1, round 2.
Those tight ends are going to go high. I don't know. It's going to be a weird season. And that's one thing we're going to be talking about later in the shows, folks, is we are going to take a very early look at how we're looking at the top 10. This is going to be very different, of course, by when August rolls around, but it's kind of fun to see how we feel things are at the moment. I think we touched
in Dynasty for sure.
Just rounding out the rest of the scores of the, and we were just talking about Kelsey and Andrews had monster games, and we mentioned, and Hunter Henry was number 3 tight end, and Dalton Schultz,
love Dalton Schultz,
number 4. He's great.
What a steal this year.
Kittle right in the mix, number 5, and Ertz, Kmet. Kmet had 10 points. He got a lot of targets. Yeah, he got a lot of targets. He's getting yards too. Moreau got 10. Pitts and then Horsted got the touchdown, and he rounded out. Horsted got the last touchdown of Monday. So there's more players. This is just as it stands now. There is still Tuesday to go, and there's 4 teams yet to calculate in all this. So these are losers as it stands at the moment as we do our podcast. So let's get into this juicy thing. I'm just looking at the this was the top 12 ECR. Like, just think of how good this looked back in August. Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, number 2. Alvin Kamara, number 3. Derrick Henry, number 4. Ezekiel Elliott, number 5.
Zeke's had a good season, man. People want to hate on him. He had a good season still.
All right. Devontae Adams. Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones and then Devontae Adams. And Tyreek Hill. Saquon Barkley, number 9.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, Nick Chubb at number 10. Jonathan Taylor, 11.
Let's pause for 1 second, but did you guys know that Devontae Booker had 84 yards or 83 yards on 13 carries?
Yeah, he broke a big one there too, didn't he?
If he gets one touchdown, he would have finished in the top, 12 running backs. Mm-hmm. That's just funny. And Saquon couldn't do anything all season long for the one game.
Yeah, it's not just the injuries, he's busted. It might be as a result of the injuries for Saquon Barkley.
Sure.
But, let's just talk about him for a minute then. What about next season? What are we doing with Saquon? I'm not targeting him.
I will actively target Saquon depending on how people view him next, right? So right now, people are thinking second, third round.
Okay.
I think he actually falls further. I think people are just going to be very sour. The way I look at him would be the same way I think people are looking at Josh this year, where he was in the fifth round. And don't get me wrong.
That's right. That's a good way to put it.
Josh Jacobs didn't have an amazing season, but he could have, right? We can say that he could have had a good season.
Yeah.
If the Raiders didn't implode on themselves, if the Raiders didn't pay Kenyon Drake, if the Raiders just weren't terrible, like Josh Jacobs could have had an okay season. And I think Saquon's that guy that if you're in the fourth, fifth round and you're just like, you know what? I'll take a chance on Todd Gurley on the Falcons. I'll take a chance on David Johnson's first year in the Texans, right? Where they both did fine, by the way. They both had 1,000 yards from scrimmage and like 8 touchdowns. Like, I think you could do that. Melvin Gordon on his sophomore year is an example of a guy that had a bunch of injuries. His rookie came out and didn't do anything. Not to say that Saquon's a rookie, but he's a guy that's recuperating from a ton of injuries and that could resurge. He's still young. He's under 25.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you just need, takes time to come back. And that's reasonable. It takes time to come back to get your confidence, to be strong, to be football ready, right?
Yeah.
So I think fourth, fifth round next year, I'm looking at him. But that just depends on people. Now, if he's overpriced at second round, then yeah, I'm going to go somewhere else. Third round, I'll go somewhere else because you can get some, big guys. You could have got Keenan Allen, right? Like, so, but fourth and fifth, I think I want him. I want that stash. I want people to hate him like they hate David Johnson. Mark Ingram ended up on Baltimore at 30 years old, right? I want those guys because it's running back. And the talent at some point has been apparent. So it's not like he came out and was terrible. He was one of the most amazing rookies we've seen.
I think he kind of hit the nail on the head that he kind of belongs in that Josh Jacobs range of thinking.
And that's okay. And that's
fine. That's fine. That's absolutely all right. But definitely not.
I would take a shot on him before I take a shot on Carson ever again. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, I think so.
Miles too. Sanders? You taking Miles Sanders next year? I don't know. I feel like I'd rather take Saquon.
No, I wasn't even taking him this year.
Yeah, right. So that's how I look at it, and I could be wrong, but I don't want another guy to have Saquon in the fifth round next year. Huh. I'd feel like I got robbed.
Anyways, let's take a look at the original top 10 here. I will post this list of just for people's. So they can take a look and see what we were drafting back in August so that I'll post this in list. Yeah, just taking a look at, after 11 is 11, Jonathan Taylor. Number 12, Stephon Diggs.
Diggs did fine, actually.
Diggs did fine, but I wouldn't draft him in the first round.
To be fair, he should never have been drafted in the first round. I think he's a very good second round guy.
Yeah, he's a good second round, yeah.
Should never have been drafted in the first. But he's still gonna finish as a top five receiver this year. And if you draft him in the first round, at least you still got the overall decent value. There's a lot of guys that did not get close to their value.
Oh, yeah, DK Metcalf.
Diggs actually did fine, especially if you're in PPR. I think he fell under 10 one time in full PPR, so it's not the end of the world. If you're in half, he fell under 10 two times. He wasn't the worst by any means, especially if you draft him at the end. Yeah. And this is coming from a Diggs hater. So
Kelsey at 13, that's okay. Calvin Ridley at 14, big disappointment in here. Don't know what is happening. He never did come back.
He never came back, and that's a shame.
Yeah.
And he had a very easy schedule early on, so we never see what he would have had to deal with if he would have stuck around on the top.
Eckler at 15.
In the top 12 also.
Huh?
Kelsey was drafted in the top 12 quite a bit, actually.
Oh, yeah, he was ECR 13, so... You know, yeah that's you know. Interchangeable there. And Ridley at 14. Next season, I think people are going to be about shy about him because, you know, he could just say, well, I'm still not ready. He could take a guy like that. Could he take time out of football again? You know, it stigmatizes him.
This was his contract year too.
Anyway,
contract year that they don't extend him.
Oh, we could talk about Ridley for hours. Number 15, Austin Eckler. Talk about a guy who is moving on up. There he is.
I love ECR him in real 15. Life. I was so scared of the draft.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah. He's a great player, great person. He attends podcasts and shows for fantasy football analysts, even the small timer ones. It's a good
really?
Guy. Yeah, he does. Quite a bit, actually. More than I thought.
Huh. That's cool.
He was on streams for people. He's on people's streams. I know at least a few I've seen him in. And he works out hard, came back from injuries. He's a small man, but he lifts like a guy that's 6'5". Just, you know, sometimes I'm just, you know, and that's on me. I know. But sometimes I like to separate my personal life from fantasy. And this is a guy that actually did that on it. And it bit me hard.
Hopkins at 16, probably all right there.
He did not have a good season.
He could. He's a bounce back candidate, though.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Not him as a talent, but him as a Cardinal. Mm. Him as a Cardinal is not something that's been that good. Kyler Murray has not been that good. And if you look at the offense, the way they run in the Cardinal land right now, it's all very running back heavy. The way they run the game, it's smash mouth football or read option football. It's definitely not a pass heavy team.
I've always found that the Cardinals tend to be a bit chaotic in their game script.
I don't think Hopkins should be in the first two rounds. If anything, he should be a mid third, bottom or early fourth. Huh. I would never take him in the first two rounds at this point, as long as he's a Cardinal. Hmm. This is different from the Texans. The Texans love and always will have overused their weapons when Bill O'Brien was there. They overused their back. This is the opposite of what the Cardinals do. So you're not getting those 150 targets a game a year now.
Right. Yeah, it'll be hard to. Well, you're not going to have Christian Kirk there. Also, like Christian Kirk becomes, well, he's an unrestricted free agent, right?
He could get paid.
He could get paid, yeah, but I will they keep them? Well, I don't know. We'll have to wait until March.
Top it off. Kyler doesn't really sling the ball. Like, if you look at the yardage totals for DeAndre Hopkins, he didn't break 100 yards once a year. He made it into the 80s twice this year. Like, they're not good. It's a lot of PPR points, and it's really nice, but it was a solid season. But I think this is one of those, like, declines, right? Like,
yeah, we're not seeing, like, those. I think
we're
the height
not
of this.
Texans Hopkins. That's the problem. That's what we want. We want Texans Hopkins, not 1,000 yards on 70 catches Hopkins.
It's true. Maybe you're not seeing those big, like, that big dramatic. You know, Hail Mary we still see the highlights of in commercials and stuff.
One of the best highlights. He is a good touchdown candidate every week, and I think that's why I said fourth round. But you know, I would categorize him as like Robert Woods this year. Robert Woods would have stuck around and wasn't injured. I would say that DeAndre Hopkins is slightly Robert Woods of upside. Right? PPR, possible red zone guy, 70 yards, 6 catches, 80, you know what I mean? Like, and a touchdown. Like, that's, which is great. Don't get me wrong. That's some fantasy relevancy, but is that second round relevancy? I don't think so.
Debatable. Yeah. A couple of running backs, Antonio Gibson and Najee at RB 11 and RB 12. I love Najee. He had a bad game, Gibson but everybody too, did. Huh?
I love Gibson too. You know, for a guy playing injury, he was relevant. Weirdly enough, he got scripted up by his own team, but he still did well. Just not what we expected.
And then, of course, 19. What happened to the chemistry? DK Metcalf, WR6.
Oh God.
What's happened to the chemistry? I kind of wonder about that.
I think the Seahawks don't believe in the mission anymore. We've seen this. We've seen prominent Seahawks guys kind of just give up on this team. And I think DK Metcalf got hit with it early.
Yeah. Tyler Lockett is kind of
the only guy left on this team that you want.
That you really want, yeah. I guess you're right about that. Wilson's, they're saying that Wilson will move on. So, yeah.
Oh, my favorite. Here comes. Say my next one.
Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon. Goodness sakes. He's moving on up. Number 20. ECR 20, RB 13. Wow. Boy, did we.
I had him in my rankings as 9th overall or 10th overall. I feel so good about
it. I'm telling you, this was the year of the zero RB people. They definitely, or if you're a zero RB hybrid, at least, or if you, you know.
RB hero, or I would say, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of these guys at RB2s that did well. The round two guys, they did pretty well. Not one of them really missed. Yeah. I wouldn't even consider Gibson a total miss either.
No, not really. No. But Mixon definitely way moving up. And we will give a little bit later on, we'll give our top 12. Just to end the show, we will give our top 12. So stay tuned for that. We just want to run through a few more of these guys.
21, Randy Moss. I mean, Justin Jefferson, right?
Yeah, he's going up.
So good.
Yeah, he is.
You know, he looks like he's invisible in the field, the way he moves.
Yeah.
I have no idea how he's always open. He's so good. He's a lot of good.
He is great. And he hasn't suffered with the loss of Adam Thielen either. He still manages to haul him in, even though the Bears were, well, tonight's game, the Bears had to double cover him because they had youngsters on, like they had some guys that had never even played a snap this season in the secondary. So they had to double team him. But I don't know. Cousins was so awful.
Primetime Cousins is always terrible. We know this.
Yeah. I bet you Kevin wishes he started Justin Fields now. But I think he wanted the stack to try and, he was so far behind, he needed to try and attack. And knowing that the Bears were thin in the secondary this week because of COVID, or actually the unspecified virus of unknown origin. That's what you're supposed to say it, I think, if you don't want to, strike or something. Anyways, Justin Jefferson, he is awesome. And I like the way you put it. He's sort of invisible on the field. He does do that. He does that. I like him.
Chest open. Yeah. Like, what's going on? He's smooth.
He is smooth.
He's smoother than, fine wine, man. He's good.
He is really, really, really good. I had him last year as a rookie, and they were saying, well, why are you drafting him? I said, so who's going to – somebody's got to catch the balls that Diggs isn't getting.
Yeah. Who are you going to trust, the tight end on that team?
No. Yeah.
Exactly. They don't use a tight end there. Kirk Cousins hasn't thrown to a tight end in a while.
It just seemed too obvious. So I had him quite high in my rankings in 2020. Moving right along, A.J. Brown. I'm down on Brown.
Back candidate, you think?
Hmm? No.
Back candidate next year?
No. I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think he's a bad player, but he's my target temperature for him is not a high temperature, but not a low temperature either, but not in the middle, just slightly higher. I mean, my target temperature on him is not red hot. Let me just put it that way.
Would you consider him a fourth rounder next year?
Yeah, ish.
A lot of these guys will get pushed. There was a lot of good players that were in the fifth and sixth and seventh rounds that are going to move up. And I think AJ Brown is going to be one of those guys that sits in the fourth, fifth rounds. It's going to be really hard to argue not to draft, to draft him and not to draft
him. Yeah, I wasn't actively drafting him this year because I'll tell you why. Mainly because of Henry. Henry is such a presence on that team. I mean, there is space for AJ Brown to, I mean, there always is in an offense like that, but Henry's presence on the Titans is so strong that you kind of feel like Brown is kind of a bit player. And look what Julio did. I mean, Julio came back and he's still, his hamstring is not still quite right yet.
AJ Brown is a guy that's just going to exist on injury, I think, for the rest of his life, as long as he's in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And it sucks because he is talented. He has the sight, the speed, the route run. He kind of has everything. And as you said, Derrick Henry's the main focal point, but I actually don't think that's a bad, right?
No, it's not a bad thing, but
Ryan Tannehill is amazing. AJ Brown benefits so well from
him. He should be doing better. It's kind of like, I mean, he and Metcalf, they're from, you know, these big bulky guys from Ole Miss, you know, and they're.
I think we expected too much from AJ Brown, and I think that's why he's a disappointment.
Yeah,
I think he should be considered more of a Tyler Lockett kind of guy, rather than a, you know, like his counterpart in his heyday, Julio Jones. He's not that. He's Tyler Lockett.
Yeah. Yeah. Onward. Darren Waller was ECR 22 injury. Can't really count him, but even before he was injured, after that big opening week, things just slowly, not immediately, not dramatically, but gradually Waller was getting phased out. And he wasn't even that good after the Ruggs dismissal. So
the Ruggs dismissal really hurt that Raiders. I think Ruggs could have had an amazing season.
He could have had an amazing career.
We could have had a big step up this year. It would have been nice. I had a lot of Ruggs on my best ball team. Mm. It just sucks for him. You know, it's a bad mistake.
Here's an oddball. this is going to be tough. How do you rank Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
I think he stays exactly where he's at this year.
ECR 24. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I suppose so. ECR 24. That would be second round, wouldn't it? Yeah.
He's probably not going to move because we've seen it. We saw him have very good games this year. A good balance between rushing and pass catch.
I still think Darrell Williams is a better back, but that's just me.
Sure.
I do. The eye test today, it seemed to me that when Clyde Edwards-Helaire was out, when he was out, I got a good look at Darrell Williams, and I saw a guy that fits in this offense. Like, I saw a guy that Patrick Mahomes trusts. I don't think he trusts Clyde Edwards-Helaire for some reason.
I think it comes down to Andy Reid. And Andy Reid has done this before, right? When we thought Miles Davis was the guy after Jamal Charles, and it became Spencer Ware, or it became Tre'Kendrick West. And now we expect, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and it could be Darrell Williams. That would be a total Andy Reid.
Because Darrell Williams does it all. I mean, he's pretty good. Damn good back. He's better than what I thought.
Remember Damian Williams did the same thing too? He usurped it.
Yeah.
So who knows?
He only played a couple of snaps tonight, Damian Williams.
We'll see next season. But I don't disagree with you at all. I don't think that's I think if I'm drafting next year and I'm in on this running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you'd be a fool not to grab Darrell Williams. You're giving the chance to be given up the actual starter. Especially if it's that close in talent.
Keenan Allen, WR9, that's about right. I think that'll stay.
I think he moves up.
Yeah.
He takes DeAndre Hopkins' spot. He kicks DK Metcalf down out. He's been good. In full PPR, he has not gone under 10 points one time this season.
Yeah, he's got a good quarterback.
And in full PPR, he's only gone under, I think, 15 three times this season.
Mm.
He's still at that right age for redraft, maybe not so much in Dynasty. With a good quarterback, as you just said, you know, which is a thing that we forget, that Justin Herbert, it can be good. You have a guy that should be in the second round, not the first or the third round. He should be a second round.
I'll play this. This is a clip from Sunday Night Football, a recent Sunday Night Football, and this is a catch to Keenan Allen, and this is Al Michaels has the call. I guess we'll get that. Just move on to the next guy, and we'll get that one.
Before we move off, then, just really quick, mm-hmm. This is week 15, and this is, by the way, him also missing a game because of COVID. 92 catches on 134 targets. That's already a good ratio. With 1,007 yards and 5 touchdowns, we still got 3 more games to go.
Right.
Short of injury concerns in the past, which we've seen him get past now, back-to-back-to-back years. Yeah, dude, he's a wide receiver. He's definitely a borderline second rounder. I don't think you could argue, not you personally, but other people could argue him out. At least in PPR. Standard, I could see that's a difference.
Okay, we have that clip.
200 passing yards now for Herbert. Roundtree is the back. Fires over the middle. What an arm. Allen in a 14. He just throws a beautiful ball.
He really does, Al.
And he does throw a beautiful ball. And that's coming from Al Michaels, who's watched like almost more football games than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say that often about a guy. But I mean, we could talk about Herbert another day. But Keenan Allen, he definitely has the right guy. And and we can talk about Mike Williams and Jalen Guyton. And this Palmer guy who's coming up, who's actually Keenan Allen's understudy.
All these guys. You're gonna want them for Dynasty. You're gonna want them in deep leagues. You know, they can step up. Well, we just saw it, right? Didn't Jalen Guyton just step up on week 14 when Keenan Allen's out?
Yep.
You know, Donald Parham, I mean, you know.
Oh, sorry about him.
Man, but he was good, too. He could easily take over as the lead tight end in the future.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he's okay. He's still okay.
Concussion, as it's ruled right now, I'm hoping that it is true. But, you know, these guys, this team, this weapons, it's amazing. I think actually the weakest weapon on the team, in my opinion, is Mike Williams because the way he is kind of inconsistent at time and injury.
Yeah.
So that's the worst guy. Okay with that.
But I do have my eye on this Joshua Palmer fellow. Yes. Definitely keep your eye on him. I think we'll just go to the top 30 here because we could keep going on here. Allen Robinson.
That's to me.
Dead to me, yep.
He's dead to me.
And actually, Terry McLaurin, bad season this year.
Bad season?
It's
still not his fault. I think he stays the same.
Well, he's got a game manager type quarterback. What would he be like if he had Herbert?
The talent speaks for itself. I think he stays in the third round this year, depending on who ends up on this team. If Tyler Huntley somehow ends up on this team next year, so if you know, any random quarterback that isn't terrible ends up on this team next year, mid-level guy, I could see Terry McLaurin being okay.
They definitely can't move forward with Heinicke.
Yeah.
Three more to go before we get to the top 30. Chris Carson.
I think that ride's over now. I think we said this about so many Seattle running backs.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a guy since Marshawn Lynch.
That's right. David Montgomery, RB16. I think he moves up. He's starting to catch more balls. He caught quite a few balls from, I'm not sure how many receptions he got from Fields today, but he was catching balls and he was out there. I mean,
he's going to finish under 1,000 yards rushing. He's going to finish with less. He only has 4 touchdowns. I mean, the 31 catches has been nice, but I don't think it's enough
kind of unexpected.
To move in the second rounds. I think him as a third, fourth round guy makes, right? Because you have other guys if we go up to 32, that's going to move ahead of it. All these guys short of the quarterback are all going to move past.
Yeah, maybe.
CeeDee Lamb, DeAndre Swift, that's easy. It's easy guys.
Debatable.
Okay.
CeeDee Lamb at number 30, WR12 to start the season. Don't know what to make of Lamb.
I think he's great. I think Dak's not that great. CeeDee Lamb is on pace right now, still with 940 yards and 6 touchdowns with bad QB play. So he's still hitting 1,000 yards. He's still hitting 6 touchdowns. That's barely less than what Keenan Allen has done.
I would rather have Huntley than Dak. I mean, I have recency bias going on here, but Dak hasn't really.
Dak's recovering. This is his 1 year back off recovery. We've seen this before.
Yeah.
It happens. This is not enough for me. This is not enough to scare me off of CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, no. I'm not talking. It's just who's delivering him the ball, and I think that's kind of for his up and down numbers that you're getting from him. You know, it's not that great. You know, where have I got him here? CeeDee Lamb. I currently have him rest of season 13, WR13. I mean, but I can't really call him out for this week because every stud did terrible. Almost
11 points this week, 13 points last week, you know, 16 points the week before. A shitty week against Kansas City, but then 15 points and then 2 touchdowns. I mean, he hasn't had a bad season. He really hasn't.
No, it's been a bit up and down. He hasn't had a 100-yard game since week 8 against the Vikings, so.
Yeah, but, you know, that was the Vikings and then New England before that. And then he had that 94-yard and 2 touchdowns. He's still a guy. He should be viewed as a PPR type guy with upside. You know, 940 yards, 6 touchdowns. It has still got 3 more weeks to go.
So anyway, I think we'll stop there at the top 30. We could probably save that for another show about where we're because I've got the top 60 list here. But I will put this on the page for you listeners to have a browse just to see where they were back in August. And where we are today. So now it's time for our early top 10 rankings. Like it's draft day 2022. And you've got the first pick. No surprise. We both took Jonathan Taylor. And you know what? Earlier in the season, but week 8, we would have been saying Derrick Henry without question. I mean, the guy is, I mean, I think he's still, even though he's been out all these weeks, I just still think he ranks 9th or something like that, or 8th.
I think the Titans and the Colts are the exact same.
But you know what I liked about Taylor a little bit more? He's got a little bit more, well, I mean, for fantasy, I'm talking about. Like, Derrick Henry is good for. Jonathan Taylor's is a lot more dynamics in the pass catching area.
I'm actually going to say it's about the same. My major difference here is that Taylor has a better O-line.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. But you can say that also looking at how Donta Foreman can get 2 100-yard games and just been on the team like about 5 minutes, couldn't tell you really how good the offensive line that Derrick Henry has to work with. Sure. I'm not saying that Derrick Henry is good because of the offensive line. He is miles ahead of Donta Foreman, I'm just trying to make some justification of why we have Jonathan Taylor ahead of Derrick Henry when, you know,
he also catches passes.
Yeah, he catches more passes, and
And he's been good. It's as simple as that. He's just been good. And Derrick Henry is our number. Well, we're gonna go to him in a second, but he has a Jones fracture, which is kind of a problem. Those are hard to get over.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. That's something to forget about. Is that Jones?
It's fracture. A recurring injury.
And so you can have to start to look at, I mean, used to be that Derrick Henry would be, always, like this time of the year, your fantasy playoffs, Derrick Henry would be the man like he was last year, right? We kind of, you know, he's the guy that carried you there to the playoffs. I had him last year and he was fantastic. He took me to a fantasy final, didn't win it because they went up against Green Bay and Derrick Henry terrible, but that was last year. This is now, but, yeah, and I think he's number two also because I think a little bit of the tread is starting to wear because of that injury now. Running backs have such tough jobs, don't they, Davis?
No, I'm with you on this. I ranked him as two. Derrick Henry's a guy I've always ranked in the top four. He lacks on PPR. Mm. In half PPR, he gets a little bit more balanced out. But he lacks in some categories. That's fine. But he can bust one, like Jonathan Taylor just did against the Patriots. He can always bust a huge run. You know, 34 carries later, he's still the same strength he was at the first carry, if not better. He's a very Bowser-like guy. He just runs downhill and just tramples players. And I mean, this year specifically, and the guys that I've ranked lower when we get down there, these guys are smaller and they're getting injured and they're not playing 16 games or 17 games each year.
No, so they're not.
Derrick Henry has this. That's why he has that advantage. And I said this earlier before in the past, and even in our six pack chat, some guys I just go, he needs to be in a committee. This guy needs to be in a committee. He's not going to survive this.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry's not one of those guys. He can't survive, you know, given a Jones fracture, but I think he could survive 17 weeks. I don't think most other running backs.
No.
So that's why I put him so high.
We both have Dalvin Cook at three. I don't think there's any surprise there. I think Dalvin will be fine.
He's one of the guys I just referenced, the guy I don't think that can survive 17. You know, he needs to lighten up his load a little bit. He's dynamic, all around, all purpose running back. He needs to start getting his touches cut down.
I didn't see his stats. He didn't score a touchdown tonight, but he was definitely amazing. The bell cow. Yeah, he still picked up a lot. I'm not sure if he reached 100 yards. I don't think he did.
Yeah, I don't think he did today either. Not even from scrimmage.
No.
No, actually, I think he did from scrimmage. I think he just hit 100.
Just
he
hit
89 rushing. And I'll find out the last stat, which is, looks like 17. No. Looks like 11. I think I can't find the receptions, but he did get 89 rushing and he had two receptions.
Here's where we start to divert. I say Cooper Kupp at number four, and you say Austin Eckler at number four. I don't disagree with your idea of Austin Eckler at number four. I could easily put him, I mean, because he's number five for me, but, no, I don't disagree with Austin Eckler at four for you. He's definitely risen up the ranks, and, wow. A little injury prone, but, but like you say, he's got a bit of committee help there that doesn't intrude on his production.
Yeah, I'm a little worried at times with him, but he's one of the few running backs who I trust to get touchdowns in more ways than one, right? He's not just a runner, he's not just a receiver. He can do either. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he's a guy goes 8 and 8 for touchdown, 8 rushing, 8 receiving.
Yeah,
right. Like, would that surprise you? Like, I would surprise me if Derrick Henry did it. Would not surprise me if Austin Eckler did it. You know what I mean? Like, he has that very Aaron Jones-esque, I can score any way I want. And
yeah.
And he's very much in the scheme.
He is. There was another guy, too, that he reminds me of as well. And I was thinking about this as well, not so much the kind of player he is, but his function within the Chargers. Mm-hmm. Kind of reminds me of someone else, and the name escapes me at the time.
No,
what do you think of Cooper Kupp at four?
I think it's too early. As much as I love Cooper Kupp, and shout out to Steve Smith, I always bring this up any chance I get the chance to. Steve Smith said he was the best receiver in his draft class. Everybody blasted him. Look where we're at today, right? Like, look where we're at now. Yeah. He was the best receiver in his draft class. He's the best receiver in fantasy right now. God, he's so good. Had the best player comps. I think at four,
I could see this, but I don't like wide receivers that are their first time breaking into the first round. You know, the first time finishing as a one scares me. Like, it's like a wide receiver one. That always scares me. And then also just Cooper Kupp, as it has had, he's kind of reminds me of kind of like Keenan Allen in the sense that he suffers the most ridiculous injuries each year.
I think he's had an issue last year. This seems to be okay this year. Was it a
Cooper
stinger
Kupp has
or
never
something
started
like that?
All 16 games, besides I think one season. I mean, never. I mean, short of I think one season. 2017, he started 6 games. But that's his rookie year. 2018, he only played 8 games. 2019, he started 14 games, and that's his other big year with 10 touchdowns, 11 yards. 2020, he had 12 games started out of 15 games played. Finished under 1,000 yards and only had 3 touchdowns. Do I think he's amazing? I think he hit the ceiling this year. Could repeat. I'm not gonna say he can't, but he scares me a little bit. Like, especially at 4.
Again, this is purely a lot. There's a lot of recency in this, and this is probably gonna. It's kind of nice to have this down so that I can look at it come August 2022 to see where it falls. But
I do agree with you, though, that there are more receivers that are going to be in the first round this year, next
yes.
year, than there, I think there's ever going to be. I think we're actually, I predict just as much like you, we're going to have 3 receivers in the first round.
Yeah, I think the zero RB people are getting some influence, finally.
This is not going to be 11 running backs, 1 receiver next.
But, you know, if we go that way and the next year, you know, it changes again, I don't know.
I mean, with guys getting split, it wouldn't surprise me.
But I think what it is, Davis, is that we're kind of getting a little bit concerned about, it's kind of like what you were saying about, Derrick Henry needing a bit of a committee, a little bit.
Well, more so I was saying for like Dalvin Cook, but yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, Jonathan Taylor works well on a committee. Look at him.
Yeah, or Christian McCaffrey needs a little bit of a committee.
CMC needs a committee for sure.
Otherwise, you're going to lose him for good. I mean, he's overworked. But the thing is, with him, he's already come out and said he loves the work. He's a bit nuts.
The Wes Welker of running backs just taking hits all day.
Just taking hits all day. And this is the thing. Is so you go in the concussion protocol, and it upsets your fantasy team because you got to make alterations for these short-term injuries. I mean, okay, and then he's questionable, he's questionable, but he doesn't play until Monday Night Football. So what do you do? Yeah. You know, and these kind of things you just don't need for players. But anyway, let's move on. The show's getting away from us. So anyways, I have Austin Eckler at 5, whereas you have him at 4, but you have Nick Chubb, and I don't mind that. I think Nick Chubb at 5 is absolutely fine.
I had him at 5 this season too. I think 5 or 6 this year also.
All right.
He's just good.
Yeah.
The team is dependent upon him. You can call him Derrick Henry light, you know, but.
And he can break him.
He broke one today.
That's right.
He's at 1,000 yards already with 7 rushing touchdowns. He's, you know, durable for the most part. Hasn't really missed a ton of games. He's already in a committee that's fine, that works for him.
Yep.
He outperformed people who thought that he wasn't a first rounder. Oh, you know, I have Aaron Jones in the first round. I have all these other guys. None of these guys are doing better than him.
Nope.
Especially with how scarce running back. I think Nick Chubb deserves to be where he is ranked for me.
He's got a nice little, yeah, and the other guys are perfectly good plugs, like, you know, Kareem Hunt and Darnest.
Yeah.
So I have
touchdowns on the season right now.
So anyways, because of my interruption of Kupp, Nick Chubb falls down to 6 for me, and you have Devontae Adams on those, but you also put in brackets dependent. What do you mean by that?
If Devontae Adams splits away from Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he will do what he's doing right now.
I think you're exactly right. because of Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson, right?
No, not just that, because we've seen Devontae Adams perform with the backups for. It's just that Aaron Rodgers just is that good just that good. And then you have a top tier, right? Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, Hall of Famer, right? We're watching a living legend right now.
Yeah.
And losing that, no matter how good of a receiver you are, you know, leaving the scheme that depends on you, right?
Yep.
Devontae Adams says he wants to leave Green Bay. Mm. Aaron Rodgers wants to leave Green Bay. Unless they leave together, You know, if Davante Adams ends up with Derek Carr next year, how excited are you? I'm not.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, at best, we get
big,
a Michael Crabtree.
Big downgrade. Anybody who goes to the Raiders gets a big downgrade.
Well, I mean, Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper had DC. Michael Crabtree had like, 8 touchdowns or 10 touchdowns and like 1,000 yards. That's great. That's not 6 overall pick good, though. And that's why it's dependent. So unless they end up on the same team together, or maybe they back out and they end up being on a Green Bay again, it's dependent. But Davante Adams has already made a point in fantasy that he is a first round pick every year, as long as the way things are today.
Yeah, they are. As long as they are, that is.
As long as they are, he's a first round pick.
Yeah, because
and I'm not the biggest Adams guy, but he has proven it time and time again. He's a first rounder.
But I, the thing is though, if, but you, it's, you've got to take into account those, once you break chemistry, the history of breaking chemistry with Aaron Rodgers, Greg Jennings, what happened after.
James Jones.
Randall Cobb. Well,
Greg Nelson was old when he left. It was, most of those guys were in their 30s when they left.
Yeah.
Besides Randall Cobb.
Yeah. I'm not sure how old Jordy Nelson was, but
Jordy Nelson was like 32 coming off like an ACL to end up on the Raiders.
Yeah, that's right. But there also is that, I think once you lose chemistry with Rodgers, I think there's a downgrade anyway. But
true. I mean, you're playing up a Hall of Famer. I mean, of course, I would hope you go down, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if Davante Adams goes to a low-end team. Anyways, starting to diverge a little bit more. Guess I kind of show my little bit of a fandom. I don't own Debo, but I am envious of people who do. He's my number 7.
I agree with you. I love Debo. I know he's not in my rank, but he's one of my favorite receivers currently in the league. I have a man crush on him. He's good.
Mm-hmm.
He's 6 foot flat or 5'11", but he plays like he's 6'5". He hit a guy so hard his mouth guard fell out of his mouth this last Sunday. He's a gadget player that's actually a good gadget player. Most gadget players suck. The guy's amazing. I just don't have him in my first round because he's injury prone. He's a guy that I don't think can finish a season. I'm scared.
Oh, okay.
I love him.
That's fair. That's fair. I have him at number 7 because he'll be fine.
He's a great I'm happy for you. I hope he does well. I really do. I think he's amazing.
Yeah, of course. I'm probably
his rookie
changed.
Year, I knew this guy was going to be a special talent. You know, the best ability is availability, right? It scares me a little.
That's what LaVisca Chenault should be. LaVisca Chenault is so wasted on the Jaguars. He would be. He is a good. LaVisca Chenault is good. And you know what? He's on a bad football team, and he would be like Debo Samuel if he would be. I'm just saying. The eye test never lies.
I find LaVisca Chenault to be approximately the same talent level as Jarvis, which is great. You know, a gadget-ish player, very good for the team. I think he needs a scheme that has him in mind correctly. A 1B, 2A kind of guy. I think that's what he's meant to be. I don't think he's any better than a Jarvis Landry, which I love Jarvis. As a Dolphins fan, I miss him. And I think that's where LaVisca lives. Debo's just so explosive. He's tough. He's scary, man.
He is so good.
Henry at 6'5".
That's probably why I haven't rated so high, because people who own Debo, I'm just so envious of them that they have this guy that I want.
Oh, good.
I know.
I don't feel the same way about Chenault. I feel like Chenault is Jarvis Landry.
He's Debo light at the moment.
Yeah. I'll see him at Jarvis Landry right now. Potential. I think Jarvis Landry is still a better player right now, but it's just potential. Because Jarvis Landry is a gadget player, and people kind of forget that, right? Jarvis Landry's thrown touchdowns. Jarvis Landry has rushed the ball in for all that kind of stuff. We'll see, though. LaVisca is still young.
We better move this along. You've got Najee up at 7. I like Najee. I think he's definitely first round worthy now. He's proved it.
I was drafting him at 12 every this year. I was drafting him at 12, 13 this year.
I had the 6th pick and he was my first pick. I picked him off. I'm not having this guy go somewhere else who owns the Pittsburgh backfield. I know what happens to top running backs that own the Pittsburgh backfield.
I mean, I've seen worse talent do well. I've seen 30-year-old D'Angelo Williams do well.
Yeah.
Right? Like, come on. Give me Najee Harris. Yeah. For the battle line. Okay.
Yeah, I like Najee at, I like Najee, your pick of Najee at,
That's one of the few teams that's going to have a three down back as long as that franchise exists.
Yeah.
As long as the head coach is there right now, they're going to be a three down back. They've never had a second back since, Tom's been there. Since their head coach has been there. They've never had a second down. Never had two running backs that were consistent.
He's pretty durable.
Yeah.
Pretty durable.
Young. I will say, though, there's going to be a time where that cliff hits fast. Because Najee Harris has, I think, the touch record from Alabama, which says a lot.
Mm. Ooh. Yeah, you kind of forget about the hits. They take a lot of hits in college, too. So,
and in high school and in middle school and so on and so forth. True.
Let's move on to number eight. I have Joe Mixon. That was my number eight. And you have Christian McCaffrey. I have to say,
I know. I'm sorry.
That's a risky pick. It's a risky pick the way, I mean, you can't, and I get it. You can't take the window of, you know, December 2021 and move it to August 2022. I get that, but where are we going to be at with Christian McCaffrey in August? Hard to say. I mean, you could be right there. You could be right, and you could be saying, like, look, that's past. The past is past. And he'll have Chuba Hubbard there, who's a rookie this year, as sort of like a mini committee, whether Christian McCaffrey likes it or not. They're going to have to do it to preserve him a little bit better. I mean, they've ridden the wheels practically off, nearly off him these past two seasons. I mean, well, he's ridden the wheels off himself because he kind of insists on owning the backfield.
For me, it's a little bit everything. I'm hoping that they put him down at 20 carries, 20 touches a game, right? He's 25, turning 26. Not this old guy out there. We've seen guys older than him with more touches. LeSean McCoy, for God's sake, right?
True.
He's a dual threat back, 26 years old, in June next year. They have to at some point lower his touch kids from 25 to 35 to 20, 15, 20. But here's the thing about Christian McCaffrey. He doesn't need 30 touches like he's been getting. Every time he's been on the field, that guy has been a double digit monster. He was basically, I think he still holds like the best fantasy points ever. From his ever. He's basically a quarterback. So at pick eight, if I had to pick between him and some of these other guys, besides maybe this guy after him, but like Joe Mixon, we've seen the cap on these. We also don't know if they finish season. So it does scare me, right? Like Alvin Kamara, other guys, we don't know what they're going to do. We don't know what Zeke's going to do. But we know that Christian McCaffrey is 26 years old, a dual threat back, can go 10 for 10 touchdowns, both as rushing or receiving, whichever he wants to end up at. And the talent's there. You don't finish as well as you do per game on a per game basis as like he does. I don't think any running back, short of JT right now, will do that.
They got to get Newton out of there.
Yeah. People need to stop taking Newton on any team. They just need to stop it. They just need to. He's done.
Look at
Cam next, please.
For one thing, before Christian McCaffrey left the stage this year, I mean, Newton was, you know, he was vulturing everything, you know.
Cam Newton is this generation's Sam Bradford.
That's pretty bad.
Somehow getting paid. Sam Bradford's like one of the most ridiculous guys to ever get paid and get cost people first round pick. Yeah. People forget that he costed a Vikings a first round pick. And I think he costed a Cardinals a pick too. And I think he costed the Eagles a pick too.
Yeah.
That's what Cam Newton is. He's Sam Bradford. He's a guy that's injured.
Gotta get
him. Ends up on a bunch of teams. Why? Why are we paying him?
Yeah, well, Belichick never makes a bad move. He made a good move. We gotta get this guy out of here so I can work on my project here without this interference.
They paid Cam $1 million last year, and they didn't get their money's worth.
No.
So let's move on from him. We need to stop Cam. You know, he's an MVP. Great. I'm happy for him. Made it to the Super Bowl. You know, happy for the guy. Great personality for the most part. Happy for the guy. But I'm sorry, man. Your time is done. You're Sam Bradford now. Stop it.
Okay, so where are we moving on to now? Number nine. We are moving to you number nine. I'm busy looking at something.
You, Richard, you have Alvin Kamara at number nine.
And
I think it's an okay pick, but I think what we saw this last past Sunday is, you know, a guy that just can't handle tackles. He was so much better with marking. He is so much better for Xavier. This is a guy that needs to be in a committee. Anything less than a committee scares me. He cannot take the hits. He's not built for it. He's missed games every year. We're always scared. He's a decoy. He only catches passes mainly. It's kind of a weird situation. situation, right? This is a Sean Payton running back.
Yeah.
Is he, no, I'm okay with that. I think that's fair. I rank him out of the first round, and I think he's a high second round.
Okay.
But the names we have at this point, though, it's like, it's tough.
It is tough.
Joe Mixon ahead of him. I agree with you. It's there for a reason.
Yeah. Joe Mixon, definitely had a step up. He's definitely, he works well. you know, he works well with the new system. You know, Burrow is, I like what the Bengals are doing with their offense. They're very, I find them, Burrow and Herbert are kind of like, their weapons are very similar. They got very similar weaponry. I was very, very fascinated that they were playing each other in a game this year. Just to see, because their offenses are so similar, you know, they got the big, downfielders and they got, and they got like Joe Mixon and Austin. It's almost carbon copy, you know, they got, I guess you could say, because Uzumah's Jared Cook, right? So.
True. That's exactly what he is. I love Uzumah. I brought him up on our chats a few times. Brought him up on our draft show when we did the early season. I was like, I'm just, you know, he has an appeal about him that it's just like, he's going to get a touchdown somewhere. He's Jared Cook, right? He's going to get it somewhere.
I like his voice. I don't know. I can't do his voice. Have you ever heard him talk? He's like, you ever heard Jared Cook talk? You should try to listen to a clip of Jared Cook in an interview or something. And he's just like the perfect. He's got the perfect voice for something for, I don't know, cartoons or something like that. Like as a
the big bulky guy. The
big bulky guy. You know, he's got the. It's just perfect for he should be doing commercials or something. I don't know. He's got the great voice. Go on YouTube and look for an interview of Jared Cook and listen to his voice. He's got a good one.
I'll catch you after this. I'll definitely work.
Yeah. you have Cooper Kupp at number 9, which is, okay. All right. And I finally.
On what he could do.
Yeah.
I didn't. I really think he can, but, you know, we've seen these receivers that come in and for 1 year then vanish, right? It's tough. Yeah, I mean, Tyreek Hill has had multiple great seasons. I think the touchdown upside for Cooper Kupp swings in that direction for me. All around has more of a game than most receivers do. Can play slot, play wide out, beats pressures, beats man coverage, beats zone coverage. A great player. So I'm going to take a chance on him next year in the first round if he comes to me. But I'm not fully invested in it that he should be wide receiver. Mm. Not yet, at least. So Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers leave Green Bay.
Definitely putting Megatron-like numbers up this year, which stands to reason since Matthew Stafford's his quarterback.
Good point. Good point.
And I have Christian McCaffrey at number 10. Similar kind of feelings about it, but yeah, it brings us back to the. I just get angry when I start thinking about Cam Newton. Get him off the Panthers.
He's not going to be there next year. We know Cam's not going to be there. They're going to try Sam Darnold one more time, I think. They did extend him already.
No!
I mean, they didn't. They took the extra year on him, I think. Yeah. So we get one more year, Sam Darnold. We'll see where that goes. But Christian McCaffrey's the man. I think he's the guy.
Okay. You also have Mixon at 10. We've discussed about his and sung his praises. We both have Javonte Williams at number 11. You know what? I could easily put him higher. I don't know about you, but I could easily put him higher. As the season goes
for
on.
Me, this is where I cap him out at, and it's not because I don't think he's a talent. It's because he's on the team that will screw him over a little. Right? This is the committee you're a little bit afraid of. Right? How people are afraid of Kareem Hunt. Javonte Williams will be in a committee where you're afraid, right? Philip Lindsay, Melvin Gordon had Philip Lindsay. Sean Moreno had Monty Ball. Monty Ball had, I think, Royce Freeman, right? Devontae Booker or something. These guys that always exist.
What a memory. Monty Ball. I mean, goodness sakes.
He wasn't that good, to be honest, but
he wasn't, but I mean, he had his moments, but that's,
But there's always that guy that's sucking a little bit of it, right? Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay. Right? Melvin Gordon now has Javonte Williams, right? Like, there's always that guy.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Two running backs. They've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, but you're right. Melvin Gordon does take the oxygen out of the room.
I mean, if anything, Javonte Williams takes it from Melvin Gordon, if you how you want to look at it that way.
I guess, yeah, it's either or. Melvin Gordon's playing great.
You want to look at it. Yeah. This is picturesque Denver Bronco football, yeah. Right? I mean, C.J. Anderson had a guy stealing punches. Like there was always somebody, always just kind of ruining your week from like loving the Broncos running back. And they had some good ones. C.J. Anderson, people give him crap, but he actually was a decent back. Could catch the balls at the yard of scrimmage. He's basically like a better Mike Davis. That was not terrible, but was good. And there's always that guy on this team. Javonte Williams is going to have somebody next year that's going to steal 600 yards from scrimmage and like five touches. And you're going to go, God damn it. Right? Like, because that's hurt. 600 yards and five missing TDs. A lot of points to give up to some guy.
The funny thing is I had to put him at 11 because I'm afraid of not putting him in if I'm at the 11th and Javonte Williams is sitting there, I kind of don't want anybody else to have him.
And I agree with you there. That's exactly why I have him there too. It's more like I need to grab him in the first round, but because I probably won't see him at pick 13. I won't see him at pick 14, you know? Like, cause let's say you put Zeke there and you pick Zeke up, then someone's going to steal Javonte Williams right away. So I think Javonte Williams fits there because he's younger, has a lot going for him. Behind an okay O-line, the quarterback play scares me, but if Aaron Rodgers ends up there, even better. But
wow.
I'm just scared that somebody steals from him, just like how he's stealing from somebody else this year and before that, right? Philip Lindsay stole from Melvin Gordon last year. Someone stole from Philip Lindsay the year before that. I think it was Royce Freeman or Devontae Booker. Somebody's always stealing from each other in the Denver Broncos.
Is that one of the places too that Russell Wilson is eyeing?
Yes, I think he's also Denver.
He wouldn't be bad there.
He wouldn't be. He would be the first running back that was good on this team in a while. So, I mean, it's been a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what Javonte Williams is about. I think the talent's there. I think a lot of stuff is in the right place. But it's the committee side that we as fantasy managers are scared of, right?
So, yeah.
Yes, you should be in a committee to, like, loosen up a little bit. And then you go, too much, right? You got too many touches. Now I'm screwed. So that's the Denver Broncos.
He's definitely a topical player for coming into 2022. No doubt about it. And we're going to be talking about him. Well, all these players, but in their degree.
He's 4.8 yards per carry on the season. No, good. 3 touchdowns on the ground and 38 receptions. You know, the Denver Broncos know how to use the running. But, I mean, the last guy that ever had a full workload by himself was Knowshon Reed. That was the last running back.
Yeah, he went to Miami.
And he went to Miami, did well for a little while, and then towards ACL never came back, which sucks because Miami does that to older running backs.
Speaking of Knowshon, do you remember the Tears video?
I love that video. The anthem video?
That was amazing.
He's crying during the anthem?
Oh, it was beautiful. I've never seen anybody cry. Well, I've never seen anybody cry like a river of tears. What a wonderful guy. I always thought about that. I've never forgotten
it's a
meme, that.
But it's a good one.
Yeah, it's a great one.
He was a guy that got a lot of hate, you know, had the nickname No Show Moreno and, you know, was considered a bust and then had that one crazy year. Made a little money on it, but he proved to everybody that he could be good. Just wasn't healthy. Wasn't healthy a lot. Had personal issues going on. But he had that year, by the way, I think it was almost a 1,600-yard season, and he had 13 touchdowns with Peyton Manning. That is absolutely disgusting. He cost him nothing. Anyways, enough history on fantasy. But
yeah, when you start talking about him, we start talking about Julius Thomas, you know?
Yeah. Javonte Williams will have a friend that may make you hate your life.
All right, finally, let's round it out, and then we'll talk about our alternates. I finally have Najee Harris. Obviously, I have him too low. I just threw this together, and I said, oh, Jude, damn, I forgot to put in Najee. So put him in number 12. But I guess it stands to reason because, you know, if I've forgotten about Najee, it must mean that I don't think, even though he's on my fantasy team, I kind of forgot about him, but I like Najee. I could put him higher. I have him at 12, and I think it is a bit. I think you have him probably in a more correct area, which is you have him at 7. I've got him at 12. But you know,
I mean, time will tell. Pick 6 to 12. I think is the first 5. I think are the hardest to really nail down correctly. And 6 through 12, who knows? I mean, Le'Veon Bell was a top 12 pick when he was on the Jets, right? Who knows at this point?
Yeah. So. And, of course, we spread a lot of love about Justin Jefferson. He's just fantastic. Great guy.
He makes my 12.
Yeah, he makes your 12. 12.
It's not a fluke, guy. I will say he's not a fluke. I'm no longer, you know, 2 years back to back. You can argue, sure, AJ Brown did, but AJ Brown never did like Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson isn't starting week one with a hamstring issue. Justin Jefferson has a good enough quarterback, right? Not an amazing quarterback, but a good enough one. Has a good enough run game to get him distracted, and everything is in the right direction for this player. Mm-hmm. He's setting records. This kid is probably going to be a Toxic Hall of Fame by year five. He keeps.
Yeah. He's definitely he's starting off. I mean, just like a solid. This is only his second year, and he's
going to be 23 next. That's it. And the reason that he even made my list is after when I saw yours, I was like, I forgot Justin Jefferson. He should be a top 12 pick or close to. This is the next year we might have two or three receivers getting drafted first round. You know, I mean, this year it was the same way, Devonta Adams, Diggs, and then Tyree Hill, but we might have that again.
Mm. And I think you're right. I think next year remember how we used to be like about, wow, we want that three down running back. Well, that three down running back looks a bit, you
know,
why don't
even exist anymore?
Well, they don't. Well, I'm talking about bell cow type.
Yeah. I'm saying they don't really exist like they used to.
No. I'm saying
to put it this way, Justin Jefferson has already outperformed his last season, and he's only at week 15. He just beat it today. The two extra touchdowns and one extra reception, minus yardage a little bit. But those two touchdowns make up for it. He outperformed himself. He only got 15 weeks.
Yeah, he scored. He scored today, so he was good. He was decent, but he wasn't great. But well, it wasn't his fault. It was the script was kind of, was the Bears.
Well, what I'm saying is he beat his last year's season points today.
Yeah. No, that's good. And there's only one and one game. Yeah, we're going to have some asterisks going on here. I'm not sure how many targets Cooper Kupp got, but. Yeah, I don't know if he can beat Marvin Harrison. Is he still on track to? Can he catch Marvin Harrison in 17 games?
I haven't checked that yet, but I won't. I don't know. Probably not. I would assume Marvin Harrison probably has some ridiculous record because
he's got 100. Marvin Harrison holds the record for receptions for 143. And coming into this week, Chris McCaffrey had 113.
I don't think he's going to be able to do it. I think he'll get close. You know, you're looking at 3 weeks, week 15, 16, 17. Actually, you might. You got four games.
What did he get? What did he get? How many receptions this week?
He didn't get any yet. He plays tomorrow.
Oh, pardon me. Yeah, you're right.
You got four more games to go if he plays up to week 18. So he could.
Actually. So he could get that asterisk. Because Marvin Harrison, of course, did it in 16 games. So
if he gets it by week 17, that would be his 16 weeks. So his 16 games. Yeah. If he gets it in week 17, then you can ask
him. Pardon me. Week 18, I'm thinking.
Yeah. So if he gets it by week 17, that'll be his 16
games. Yeah.
So he has a chance to do it if he gets 10 more catches per game, which is very possible for Cooper Kupp. I mean,
yeah.
10 catches per game puts him at ties it. He gets 11 one of those games. He wins and takes that the title.
I mean, I don't know who's next under it. The next guy below Marvin Harrison is way down. So it's going to – Marvin Harrison said he was awesome.
You got to play with the sheriff, so.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at our alternates here. I have Devonta Adams.
Actually, Michael Thomas beat Marvin Harrison's record.
Who?
Michael Thomas. He beat it in 2019, actually.
Did he?
He had 149 receptions.
Oh, my bad.
Still a good record to beat, by the way, if you beat Marvin Harrison, right? This is the crowd that's in this reception. Michael Thomas at 149, Marvin Harrison at 143, Antonio Brown at 136, Julio Jones at 136, and then Antonio Brown at 129. But you get to say you did better than Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, or Marvin Harrison? That's still good company.
It is.
Good company.
I forgot that Michael Thomas or didn't
we forget,
know.
Right? It's a little weird. To top it off, though, Marvin Harrison did when he was 30 in 2002. So it took 17 years for this record to get broken in today's league, the Super Bowl era, where people throw every chance they get.
Huh.
More impressive than Marvin Harrison did it.
Yeah, I guess you can look at it that way. But thanks for correcting me on that, because I thought it was.
To be honest, I thought you were correct, too, and I just happened to be looking at it just to make sure how many more yards that, because I wanted to see who was second or third place. And yeah, I was surprised. I was actually a little surprised myself.
Mm. Alternates. I have Devonta Adams, probably for the same reason you say, because we don't know what situation.
100% agree with you.
My other alternate is Justin Jefferson.
On your pick, by the way.
Thanks. Justin Jefferson, of course, we've discussed him. Travis Kelce, always an alternate. If you, I'm not one for drafting a tight end in the first round, but you know what? I have Travis Kelce in as my alternate because for this week, I mean, it really showed me about how smart I was in drafting Mark Andrews. I mean, Travis Kelce's slightly better. If I looked at the stats, Mark Andrews actually has the most fantasy points this year because he has more fantasy points total than Travis Kelce. So
I think the argument for Travis Kelce being an alternate is fine. I mean, yep. Tight end one since 2015. Mm-hmm. I think if Travis Kelce would have played his rookie year, that narrative that rookies suck at tight end might not exist because his first year was his sophomore year that he actually started playing. And he was already like, I think 800 yards or something. His first actual starting year because he took no snaps, I think, in his rookie year.
It's because I think we forget that the tight end, I think I mentioned this with Dennis last, because the tight end is such a complicated position.
It's a position that coaches are still figuring out to this day how to use it correctly.
Blocking schemes and, yeah, in fact, there was a time in, believe it or not, back in the day, when the run and shoot offense was going, they had no tight ends. They would just have four, you know, they would just take out the tight end and have a wide receiver. This was back in the day, it was Warren Moon, you know. And I don't know. It could come back. I think sometimes you see the run and shoot, but not as the main force they'll take. But some teams, like, they have three tight end sets, you know, like, what?
Yeah.
But Travis Kelce, no problem. If you want to take Travis Kelce in the first round, I always kind of think if it's a bit of a hard route to take the top tight end in your first round, but if you're near the end of the turn, you could probably take him.
I think that's the perfect play there. I mean, if you pick like 12, you can obviously, who cares? If you pick 11, you could just get, you know, you can, it's kind of one of those things like you could get somebody in between. 1,000 yards in his last, what, six seasons? His eight seasons he's been in, he's been 800 yards or better. 8 years of playing, I think, has been 100 yards or better. I mean, how do you argue against Travis Kelce? He doesn't suffer injuries that take him out season long. The team loves him.
Touch wood.
He's just good. Like, how do you argue really against him, right? It's hard.
That's
he's going to finish this season with like 11 to 1200 yards again, seven touchdowns already. Like, who knows? I think that's fine. I honestly wouldn't straight up take him unless I was really trying to do something, but I also don't have enough to argue against because consistency is king in the first round. Not upside, in my opinion. It's consistent.
Good point. I agree. Who are your alternates?
You're going to laugh at this one. Zeke is an alternate. He's finishing on the season with, I think he's already at 1,100 yards on scrimmage with like 10 touchdowns, close to that.
Doesn't seem like it.
I know. It does not. It feels completely weird.
I feel like Pollard looks more explosive than Zeke. Is that bad to say?
So when I was watching Pollard looks better, but Pollard doesn't block like Zeke. Pollard kind of looks like he needs Zeke to kind of wear them down, right? I think this is going to be one of those better committee backs situations.
Yeah.
If anything, and I think I wrote it out in the article on my last trade article, it was that look at this as if you would, and then we talked about four, DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry, or look at it as more of this year's Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams. Like the thing about Zeke, though, he's been kind of a monster in the red zone. He's getting touchdown and touchdown and touchdowns every single week.
Yeah.
So it puts him at a weird consistency level. I think he's right now at 9 rushing and I think 1 receiving. So he's at 10 touchdowns and about 1,100 yards on scrimmage. So he's there. He's doing the work to be fantasy relevant. And they're paying him. So there's nothing much they can do to get rid of him.
No, they can't. They went and paid him. Dummy.
And then Pollard, to top it off, just hasn't been good starting off. I think he's a great relief back.
You're selling him a little short.
But this is also how the Dallas has always kind of done, right? Mm. There's always been a Pollard on this. There's always been that guy that comes in the second that helps out, right? Ruben Randall was that guy. Something Lance, I think, another guy, but he was the receiving version. Alfred Morris, when he was there, there's always some guy that plays that secondary, but that works in his benefit. I think Tony Pollard will start taking more carries, and it starts to look like a 60-40, a beneficial 60, a Melvin Gordon to a Javonte Williams. And that's fine because that's still fantasy relevant, but it'll be better. They won't be as bad because they have a better line, better offensive weapons, and better quarterback play than the Broncos. So it works in their favor. They can get down
the field and these guys can punch their heads in for 6 points. And I think that's where they're going to live. And I think that as an alternate isn't the worst. If you were looking for a running back you could possibly trust to be relevant and survive the season, I think Zeke is that guy.
Yeah, I just, out of curiosity, I just got up the Pollard stats here, fantasy point wise, or actually RB finish wise. Since he's finished inside the top 20, four of the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, they're doing well together. And I think they do better together. You know, you don't want these guys having 1,000 touches. And Pollard, we've seen him when he starts off, he does get stuffed quite a bit. But when he comes in and he has his own little, you know, drive, it's really good because this team can't handle two amazing guys or one solid guy and one amazing guy. How about that? That is a conference, right?
Yeah, okay.
So two above average guys coming in there, putting in work.
Yeah. I think that'll be, and Davis, that'll be something too, that'll be topical next season is I think people will want to draft the Madisons, the Pollards, the Hunts, definitely. People will want these players on their bench so that you can, I drafted Madison and boy, did he ever come in handy for me to just plug in.
Monte Booker was handy this season, right?
Like, that's another one. Yep.
Leonard Fournette was handy this season.
Well, he was kind of always going to be Ronald Jones. So that's our look, our Christmas look, and for the season.
My last one was Alvin Kamara. He's my alternate too.
Healthy. Oh, I'm sorry.
He's just not healthy. No, you're fine. We did talk about him earlier, and it's just the same thing. I just don't think he can survive a season. He needs to be in a committee, and I don't like him in between the tackles. He's a very weird way to say a one-dimensional dual threat runner.
Mm.
We're starting to see it, right? He's not surviving. So that's why he's an alternate for me. He's probably a second rounder.
Right. That's fair. It's fair. I mean, I still have him in the top 12. And like I say, this is very early days, of course, way early days. Too early to be talking about this stuff, some say.
Too early for us.
But the thing is that we were going through, what we had in August. I don't know. It doesn't matter what we do, Davis. When we look at the rankings, in hindsight, we just shake our heads and we'll do it again in 365 days, probably.
I mean, find me a person that can get the top 12 picks 100% correct, please. Find me a guy. Find me a guy or gal that can do it.
Yeah. Don't know if there's such a person. You got to be like, sometimes, you know, the way fantasy goes, sometimes I think we are living in a simulation. Some of the crazy stuff we see are. Like this week, take for example, they say start your studs. Well, I started my studs and they turned into duds right at the wrong time. And but it wasn't just me. It was everybody's studs. All this.
I think this happens to be that one bad app. I mean, we'll see how the studs go tomorrow with Cooper Kupp, right? If he does bad tomorrow, then there will be a bad week. I don't know. I just don't see it.
Well, his worst week Justin Jefferson really didn't do that great today. I mean, the touchdown actually saved his fantasy day.
I mean, sure. I mean, 4 for 47 and a touchdown. I'm okay with that. I mean, it's not great, but fantasy greatness versus real life football is always going to be two different. And I mean, as we said early in the show, like people are expecting 15 points a week, but that's not the norm. It really hasn't been. I mean, I guess that's kind of the norm PPR, but realistically, the norm should be 10-10. It should be the floor, not the team. And he hit it. He has 8.5 points plus the 6. So he's at 14.5 points. And that's what makes Jefferson so good, right? Like, my guy can get 60 yards a week, 4 catches, and a chance at a touchdown. That's a solid player every single week. That's startable every week.
Yeah. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, David, and thank you for coming on the Fantasy Edge 2. This is my last podcast until I'm not going to be, but we know podcast next week on Monday for the holidays. Yeah, I'm taking the week off. I still will do one last blurb view for the week. That'll be out on Friday. I'm no longer doing the rest of the season. There's not much rest of season to do. So I'm just going to, there'll be the blurb view and you'll be able to see that at Friday at 7 p.m. on Christmas Eve. still be able to have the preview, so I have some time this week in between my Christmas getting readiness to actually do some writing, so I'll be able to get that done. Davis, thanks again for joining us on the Fantasy Edge. We hope to talk to you soon and maybe do another show after all this is over and before the Super Bowl. I'm sure we'll have another show.
Oh, man, I hope so, right? Thanks for having me on. It's been a fun year. I attended way more shows than I thought I was able to. And, you know, Merry Christmas to you and any of the listeners that we do have.
Thanks.
You know, ever so many, right? Jokes aside. I'm going to be glad that you guys come back next year. And hopefully I come back next year myself.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see. COVID is hopefully this disease that we don't know that may or may not exist. You know, might be gone and I might have more free time to not be at home.
It's the unspecified disease of unknown origin.
And anyone that's in their championships this year or semifinals, best of luck. Do your due diligence. You know what to look out for. Look out for weather. That's the one thing that people always forget about. And I'm going to try to win the best ball championship tournament. I'm actually moving on to the semifinals. So we'll see.
Good luck with that. Merry Christmas, everybody. And thank you for joining us for the Fantasy Edge. We'll talk to you soon.